News Radio WJPS Senator Paul Shemp. Senator, how are you? Paul, you all right this morning?
I'm doing well, Tom. I'm going to be doing a lot of driving today. I'm second day of a media tour talking about my legislative agenda or legislative priorities for the spring, but I'm looking forward to it, feeling good.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I wanted to talk to you more about your agenda, but I want to start with Senate Bill 337. This has been something that we've been talking about for a long period of time. Well, the talk is over. Governor Pritzker signing off on this gun store legislation yesterday.
Well, I agree with you. The time for talk is over with on this. I've voted against this licensing proposal in one form or another, I think 7 times, and I've been very outspoken about why I believed it was a bad idea. But at this point, it is no longer productive to talk about why it was wrong. My focus now is how do we protect the shooting complex and how do we try to soften the impacts on our Southern Illinois firearms dealers.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry you're catching me by surprise. What impact do you think it'll have on the shooting center, and why would it impact it?
Well, I spoke with, as soon as it looked like this might happen, I spoke with Lynn Gibson, who's the head of the Amateur Trap Shooting Association, and the fear is that if we impose requirements on our vendors, our national vendors that come in only for this Grand American shooting event, that they may choose not to come. And that is something that I want to be proactive about this and not take any chances on that, because the reality is the Grand American is a major economic stimulus for our region, and it is something that doesn't necessarily have to be at the World Shooting and Recreational Complex. There are other venues that are going to try to steal this away. And I would like to just not give them a reason to try to take this shoot away. I want to, file legislation and pass legislation that's going to specifically exempt the World Shooting and Recreational Complex from the gun dealer licensing requirements. And I think we need to do that in order to make sure that the shooting complex remains a vibrant economic engine for the region.
And after all, the taxpayers of the state invested heavily in that in that facility too.
They did, and the reality is the shooting and recreational complex has nothing whatsoever to do with the violence problems in Chicago. The shooting complex is a venue for shooting events. The state of Illinois controls really anybody that has access to that facility. So the thinking behind the gun dealer licensing proposal was that we had some bad actors that the feds just didn't have enough bandwidth to go after, and that the state of Illinois was gonna step up and fill in the gaps for the feds. That was the rationale for that legislative proposal. You can agree with it or disagree with it. I'm just telling you what the rationale was. But that doesn't apply at the shooting complex. We have control over that space. We have national vendors that are coming in, making this an event that draws people from all over the country to Southern Illinois. And this is something that we need to make sure is not impacted by the new gun dealer licensing program. And this is something that I spoke with Representative Costello about yesterday as well. He's going to carry the legislation that I'm going to file. He'll carry it in the House as well. Now, this is something that there has been a lot of talk about the need for bipartisanship, and I've been part of that discussion as well. This is an opportunity that we have now to walk the walk. We've been talking the talk about the need for bipartisanship. This is the opportunity to walk the walk, and I hope that we can do that because, as I said earlier, the shooting complex has nothing to do with the violence problems in Chicago.
Senator, you're talking about, of course, part of your legislative agenda, but outside of this, for the shooting complex, what is on your agenda for this session that begins next week?
Well, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to try to make some reform proposals. And one of the things that's different about some of the proposals and priorities that I have this year is I'm putting forward some ideas that are not going to be able to get passed right away because they are reform ideas that will take constitutional amendments to implement. But this is going to be my third spring that I've been working in the Illinois Capitol. The first year that I was there, I tried to keep my head down, build relationships, and learn the process. Last year, I was a little bit more ambitious. Now I think I know some things that could really make our government more transparent and more responsive to constituent concerns. So really, there's four big ideas that I have that I think would make state government better. One of them is just that if we're going to be voting on appropriation bills that spend money, there needs to be a 72-hour cooling off period. I think that we need to have the public needs to have time to look at what's in the budget proposals that we're voting on. 72 hours won't make or break anything. If we build that into the schedule, I think that will make our process more transparent, and I think people will have more confidence in it. I also think we ought to consider changing the term of the governor to just one term only, but make it a 6-year term. That would be something that would allow somebody to be elected governor and then do something about trying to make the state a better place instead of just having to worry about reelection campaigns. That's another big item. I would also like to see all the senators and representatives have a small number of bills that they could say, okay, these bills, you give maybe each elected official only two or three of them, but you say these bills automatically get a vote. They at least get a committee hearing and they get a vote, because right now the reality is individual representatives and senators cannot move legislation. Legislation only moves if it has the support of the Speaker of the House or the President of the Illinois Senate.
Hold on a second, Paul. I want to, on this, because this is interesting, because I was literally told, and I've been told this for the last 30 years in Illinois, that committees are where good ideas go to die in Illinois. And when you said that two bills for every legislator, you said voted on committee, are going straight to the House floor, because that committee has been the holdup and the ability to manipulate what comes out by the committee on the behalf of the Speaker. So in this idea, the legislation would go right to the House floor. You get two bills that go right to the House floor for a vote, or it has to go through committee.
No, the idea is that it would have to go to committee, but it would at least get a hearing in committee. It would get an up or down vote in committee. And there are other states where the rules allow any legislation that is filed automatically progresses where it will get an up or down vote.
All right.
I don't know that is necessarily manageable in Illinois, because there's been the last General Assembly, there were over 13,000 bills that were filed.
All right.
The sheer volume, not everything can get a vote. There's too much.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, if you gave each senator and representative the ability to have a small number of bills that, okay, these are kind of, these are our silver bullets that they cannot get just buried in the Rules Committee or the Assignments Committee and never see the light of day. They actually get a vote.
All right.
I think that is something that would improve our legislative process.
And the fourth idea that, before I interrupted you, what's number four?
The fourth idea was, I think that if we don't have a budget passed by a certain date, we should have a continuing resolution that kicks in automatically to just maintain the previous budget's levels of discretionary spending. The idea behind this is just that you take the impasse off the table. I think the impasse was absolutely terrible for Illinois. I think it's going to take years for us to recover from the budget impasse that we have. And, there are other states that have this procedure in place where if you don't have a budget by a certain time frame, then the previous year's budget just remains in effect.
Right.
I think that would be, that would help us to have a little bit of confidence in our government.
That's interesting. Those are really interesting ideas, Paul. I'm glad you shared those with me today. We're running out of time. I want to hit you with something else.
Sure, go ahead.
I was on the phone yesterday afternoon with representatives of Walker's Bluff. We were talking about the prospect of gambling legislation. There are a lot of rumors flying around about this right now, because I think basically when I was on the phone, I said, you know, I think next week there's going to be a dump truck full of legislation pull up to the Capitol building, and they're just going to throw it out there. It's going to be a dump truck full of stuff hit the floor. You alluded to how much legislation there is just a couple of moments ago. But they're anxious about Walker's Bluff and getting a gambling license. But what's also interesting is, I was talking with them, they said, we are very interested in Senator Paul Shimp's support of the four-lane highway out of Southern Illinois into St. Louis. He says, when we add this into our figures of what we could do at Walker's Bluff, this would be a substantial benefit to the resort in the event they get the gambling license and were able to build as they wish to. They were really supportive of this.
Well, I think the four-lane highway proposal connecting Carbondale with the Metro East is something that needs to happen. We did get the task force creating that. We did get the resolution creating the task force to look at this through the General Assembly the last session. I hope that the task force starts meeting in February. The idea is that we can put together a concrete proposal for this highway, because this has been talked about for 50 years. But right now, in my opinion, the hang-up is it's just in the abstract. We don't have a specific route picked out. We don't know exactly how much it would cost. We don't know what land IDOT has. So this task force is going to try to come up with a route, get some specific answers, and then we can make our case.
Right.
I think it would be great for the economic development of Southern Illinois. I don't know, whether we can get it done, but I do know one thing. It will never happen if we don't ask. And this task force is going to allow the proponents of this highway to make the ask.
Senator, before I let you go, one final question involving the gun store builds. Governor Pritzker says this will stop straw man purchases, people that go in, buy a gun for somebody else, and give it to them that shouldn't have it. But isn't that what a FOID card is for? That if you don't have one, you shouldn't have a gun? Aren't we, in fact, being duplicative in nature when we say, well, look, we're going to stop straw man purchases? We're the only state in the union with a FOID card. Isn't that the responsibility of that law and that little device?
Well, I think what you've talked about just illustrates the principle that you cannot eliminate criminal conduct by placing more laws on the law-abiding citizens. It just... as we talked about earlier, it's not productive anymore for me to talk about why this was such a bad idea. But you're absolutely right. The FOID card should have solved a lot of these problems.